Look in your Bibles at Mark chapter 7. I want to read about the last seven verses. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 31. Verse 31, and again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had a speech impediment, an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, I'm going to try this, Ephphatha, be opened. That is, be opened. Ephphatha. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Well, what I'm going to try and speak toward, and I don't know how far I'm going to get, is that he hath done all things well.
Yeah.
Because that's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's a valid conclusion to this scripture and to every other scripture in this book. Yeah. He hath done all things well.
Amen.
It's not me that has done anything well. It's not you that have done anything well. It's he has done all things well. That's the conclusion, and that's what we're going to try and get toward. But beginning in verse 31, it says, and again, departing the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And I got to thinking about this, because this chapter, you kind of move some ground in it. It starts off with them seeing the Pharisees and the scribes seeing that the disciples ate with unwashed hands. And Christ told them, mind your own business, you hypocrites, you actors. You honor me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. You're worried about the gnat, and you're swallowing the camel. You reject the commandments of God so you can keep your own traditions.
Yeah.
On a day like today, when people were having services at 7 o'clock in the morning, and some of them were in cemeteries and some of them weren't, they're keeping their traditions. Every Sunday, we come to celebrate and praise the God who resurrected.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what Sunday is. That's why we gather on Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, we can do it on Tuesday. We can do it on Monday. We can do it on Saturday. But what we are celebrating, actually who we are celebrating, is the God that resurrected. And the tradition of making it special once a year won't cut it.
No,
it won't cut it.
No.
You have to know Jesus Christ every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And I'm not supposed to be preaching on Easter. That's all right. It's the day. But I got to thinking about this. Where was Christ at this time? Well, he was wherever he wanted to be. And guess what? That was wherever he was supposed to be. He came to Decapolis, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, just in the exact time when this fellow was there. And they brought him to him. Christ was there because of the foreknowledge of what he would do. Remember, he has done all things well. And he was there for the providence of healing this particular man. This is what we have. Now, I'm sure he did many, many other things, but this is what we have recorded. And it's recorded for a purpose. But the point is this, Jesus was never anywhere by accident or coincidence. The words are foreknowledge and providence. The same way in John you'll read where it says he must needs go to Samaria. He must needs go to Decapolis.
Yeah, right.
He had at that time in that place something to do and to do it well.
Yeah.
And that's why he was there. But then verse 32 starts it off and it says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him.
Yeah.
Now, I have heard in times past where they read this and they'll say, they brought a man to Christ. Now, two things. Don't put too much into this, but don't put too little into this. It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Christ was already there. He was right on time. And he's in command. Christ Jesus is in command of every instance and every circumstance. Those that brought this man to him were doing his will and his good pleasure. They brought him to him, but it was his purpose. It's not to be a point of pride, because he could have used anybody else to bring him. That man was going to get healed no matter who brought him. Because it happened. God had purposed for it to happen. Christ was there to do it, to accomplish the purpose of God. Now, also though, like I said, don't put too little into it, because God has ordained means.
Yes, sir.
Don't get prideful in it, but God has ordained means. We do stuff. I'm standing up here trying to preach because that's what I'm supposed to do. We do stuff. We are to proclaim. We are to witness. We are to love one another. And we are to care for one another. And we are to tell one another and anyone else who'll have an interest of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he'll do what he wants. He'll do his will. He'll do his good pleasure. And that may be to heal him, and it may not. I don't know. In this case, I do know because it's written down. But never forget the work of healing, the work of giving life, the work of conversion is of God, the Son, and the Spirit. It's not us. If they're one of God's, he will visit them. He will come to them. I guarantee it. Why? Because this book says it. But they brought this man to Christ because they couldn't help this man. And he had two problems. He was deaf and he had a speech impediment. He could not hear and he could not speak plainly. Now, my wife, being a nurse, a former nurse, asked me if I had ever been tongue-tied. And I said, yes, and she said, no, you haven't. So evidently she was right.
Of course.
That's the way it works. Well, we have an expression being tongue-tied.
Right.
With where you just can't get the correct word out.
Right.
That I have been, well, let's put it more than once, okay? But there actually is a physical condition, and I did look, and according to Gill and some others, this is what they think was wrong with this man's tongue. What it is, and you can go on the internet and Google it. It's not pretty. It's kind of gross looking. Underneath the tongue, that's going to look great on the internet. Underneath the tongue, babies are born sometimes with flesh going to the bottom of their mouth. Now, when you're born in a hospital nowadays, it's not a problem. They snip it. But this is a grown man, and that's what it sounds like, because it does say a little later on that his tongue was loosed.
Sure, that's what it says.
That's what it says. So his tongue was loosed from something. Okay? But that's what it seems to have been. That was the second problem. The first problem, it said that he couldn't hear. And he couldn't speak plainly. Both. They couldn't help this man, but Jesus could. And Jesus did. But what do I see here in this allegory, as I'm going to use it, in this actual instance, I see a picture of the unregenerate man.
Sure.
Now, it's pretty plain in the scriptures that the unregenerate sinner cannot hear.
Right. Cannot hear.
Cannot hear. Incapability. It's not that they're not willing, even though they are not willing.
Right.
They cannot hear. They cannot hear. And here's another thing, the unregenerate sinner cannot hear the truth.
Right.
And the unregenerate man usually does not speak the truth.
Yeah.
John Gill put it this way, the case of this man much resembles that of a sinner in a state of nature, the natural man, who is deaf to the voice both of law and gospel.
And gospel. Right.
Both.
Right.
He does not hearken to the commanding voice of the law or attend to its precepts, nor can he be subject to it. Nor does he hear its menaces or curses. Nor is he at all affected or disturbed by these things. And I can vouch for that. When I was a natural man, I wasn't scared of God. I wasn't scared. I might have been scared of some big guy. I was scared of guns. Well, I was in the army at the time, so, you know. Other people had guns besides me. But he's not at all affected and disturbed with these things, and like the deaf adder, he stops his ear to the charming voice of the gospel.
Sure.
He despises it.
Sure, that's what the
boy does. Oh boy, does he. And has it in the utmost abhorrence. He is deaf to all the instructions, directions, cautions, and exhortations of the ministers of the word.
That's right.
He won't have it.
Right.
That parable Christ said, I will go back to it, and I will go back to it for the rest of my life, because it is so perfectly true and so apt in this generation. We will not have this man to reign over us. They won't hear him, and they won't have him. You won't hear the instructions, directions, cautions, and exhortations of the ministers of the word, and even of his best friends, relations, or acquaintances. The natural man cannot hear the truth.
Right.
At all. Because he's deaf. Christ would say it, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Let him hear. Yeah.
What about everybody else? What about him? What about him? Christ wasn't talking to him. Man, now I got to say something about election. Save Walter from having to do it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. It's the truth. It's everywhere. Once you see an election, once you see that God has a chosen people, which is clearly stated all throughout the Old Testament, God didn't change in the New Testament. Once you see that he has a chosen people, you can't unsee it. It's everywhere. God has chosen his people. He's not waiting for his people to choose him.
Right.
And I don't care what anybody says, because that's what the book teaches. That's what the Bible says. And this deaf man could not hear. The other thing was, he had an impediment of speech. This man had a problem speaking. Understand this, because it hit me really hard. The guy could speak. Mm-hmm. The man could speak.
He could speak.
But you couldn't understand it.
Right.
He could speak, but it did not come out. And the word is, when you get, we'll get to it a little bit, where he says he spake plain, rightly.
Yeah.
He could speak, but not rightly.
Yeah.
He couldn't hear, but he could speak. But it wasn't rightly.
Yeah.
That's the unregenerate man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You don't have to hit me in the head with a 2x4. I mean, please don't. I get that point. He can't hear, and he can't speak correctly. I've been there. I've been there. Thank God, by his grace, I'm not there now. But I have been there. And so is every regenerate sinner been there. And every unregenerate sinner is still there. The state of the unregenerate man is described in Acts 7:51 by Stephen, saying, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." So do ye. They're not trying to resist the Holy Ghost. They do.
They do.
They do. And it's not they're trying to resist me or Walter, or you if you witness to someone, or you if you tell somebody about Christ. David, if you speak to somebody about Christ, they'll resist him.
Yeah.
They'll resist the Spirit.
Right.
How many people have seen that? Yeah. It's there. Why? Not only are they uncircumcised in heart, they're also uncircumcised in ears.
Yeah.
They can't hear. A stiff neck is because of an uncircumcised heart. And uncircumcised ears are because of an uncircumcised heart. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 4 says, yet the Lord hath not given you. Where'd you come from? The Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive. But he didn't stay. Stop there. And eyes to see. He didn't stop there. And ears to hear. Unto this day. A heart to perceive must be given. Eyes to see must be given. Ears to hear must be given. You know why? Because a heart to understand, eyes to see, ears to hear are not natural as far as God is concerned. Now, you may have natural hearing, you may have natural sight, you have a natural mind, a natural heart. You can understand, guess what? The things of the world. That's what you can understand. And some people are very, very bright and very smart. And evidently they have loads of time on their hands because they can get so smart in mathematics, I don't even know what the symbols mean that they're using. And I've took algebra and trig and calculus. But they get way beyond that. They can spend hours and hours on studying cell structure and biology and how the body is supposedly put together and DNA and RNA and whatever else. But they can't hear God. They can't see God. And they can't understand God. Because to them it has not been given. Christ quoted Isaiah in Matthew 13:15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Waxed gross. "And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." So not only will their eyes not see, they close them. Their eyes cannot see, and they'll close them anyway because they will not see. That's the way it is. That's the way the natural man is. We use a word called total depravity. And the reason we say that is because it means total depravity. Dead to God. Dead in trespasses and sins. Not sick. Not hurt. Dead. But then, they brought this man to Christ in this condition, deaf and could not speak, had an impediment in his speech. And verse 33 says, "And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and he touched his tongue." Christ was fixing to heal this man. Because he could. And because he was willing to. And because he wanted to. And because he had purposed to. But the first thing he did was he took him aside. They use a term in places other than this. They call Jesus a personal Savior. Of course, then you're supposed to make him Lord. Well, no, he's Lord long before he ever met you. And he's going to be Lord long after he met you. And he's Lord right now. But the interaction from God, from Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and the individual is very personal. It is singular. It is an individual working. And Christ took this man aside from the multitude. He was going to do a work on this man. Now, I'm not saying that things don't happen in church, in assemblies, but even when it does happen, if you're at, 5,000 at Pentecost? 3,000 another time? Every single individual that God did something for, he did it for that individual person personally. Christ took this man aside. This wasn't the business of the multitude. This was between God manifest in the flesh and this one man. That's who it belonged to. That's who this moment belonged to. As far as this man was concerned, Christ was it. He was his only hope. He's everybody's only hope. He's the only hope there is in this world. He is the only hope. And he is our good hope. He took this man aside from the multitude because what Jesus Christ does for a man with ears that cannot hear is not the business of anybody else. It's his business. It's no business of the multitude. It is personal because the good shepherd calls his sheep by name. And whether you're in a multitude or whether you're by yourself, Christ, the Holy Spirit, does this to you, and no one else can see it. We might get to see the results. Matter of fact, we will probably get to see the results. Somebody might. But it is personal. The ministry, our ministry, is public. Our preaching is public. Our message is publicly proclaimed. We do it on CD now, and we do it on the internet, on YouTube. But Christ's work for the individual is private. It's private. And he works away from the sight of the multitude because he works inside a person. What he does and who he does it to is not the business of the multitude. The results will be made manifest, but the work is private. The Spirit goes where the Spirit wills to go. And you don't know where it's going. You don't know where it came from. You don't know what it's doing now, what he's doing now. We don't know. Now it says he put his fingers in his ears and he spit and he touched his tongue. Why did he do that? I have no idea. Other than he touched the problems the man had physically.
Yes.
That's all I know from this. Now there's some speculation out there. You can read all kinds of things in commentaries. But I'm not going to go into that stuff. Because I don't know how he does what he does. I only know for certain, personally, what he did for me. I don't know how he opened my ears, I just know that he did. I know he gave me life. I believe the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within me, Mason, but I don't know when. And my ears started hearing things that had been said around me for years, but I never paid any attention to. But Jesus Christ put his fingers in his ears and he spit. I don't know if he spit on the guy. I don't know if he spit on his fingers and he touched his tongue or what. But Jesus Christ directly approached the problem this man had. It doesn't have to make sense to me. He just has to do it. And it's done. He gives life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. He gives ears that hear to those who cannot hear. He gives a heart to understand those who have a desperately wicked heart. And I'm going to quit with this just for right now. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, I'll try it again, Ephphatha. That is, be opened. I don't know that he had to touch that guy's ears and tongue. But he did have to say the word. And that man was healed. He said one word, and that man was healed. And that word was, be open. A dead alien from God, alienated from the Spirit of God, is a closed being. Christ said, be open. And not only this man's ears were open, this man's tongue, we're going to get into that next week, but all he has to do is say the word. This is God manifest in the flesh. I used to wonder, you grow up in Sunday school and you hear stories. You know how Christ was beaten and smitten and he opened not his mouth. Well, if he'd have said stop, they'd have had to. His word is power. He is power. But he willingly didn't say a word. But when he comes to someone he wants to heal, and when it comes to the unregenerate, chosen child of God that he is going to give life to, he will speak to them, be opened. He will say the word, live, and you shall live. It's that easy for him. And it's that easy, even though it seems like it's not. All he has to do is say the word, and we shall be healed. That's the truth of it. Because he has the power, and he has the word. It's his. And he'll say it to whom he will, whenever he will. And he's doing it now, and he'll do it until he stops. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come and did live and did become the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for sin forever, and is now giving life to his children, who's not ashamed to call us brethren. Thank you, Lord, in his name.